play for today, Dead Men's Head, is based on a most interesting story which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Front page dramas are produced in the studios of the General Broadcasting Company. The Harley Ritters are an average middle-class English couple. They live in the middle-class part of London and lead the usual routine existence of the other married people in similar circumstances. Here they are now. Some friends have just driven them home. They are about to enter their little flat in Melrose Mews. Mr. Ritter produces his latchkey and unlocks the door.
Come, Jenny. In you go.
Oh. Harley.
Hmm?
I like the charm of the minstrel, don't you?
Nice enough. Good picture for cinema tonight, didn't you think, Jenny?
Oh, lovely, Harley. You know how much I like the American films. And I thought it most hospitable of the Chalmers to drive us home.
So it was, considering they live practically on the other end of town.
Well, why don't you get ready for bed, then?
Didn't get a chance to look over the Times today. I'll just skim the headlines and I'll be along.
Harley? Harley, was the front door locked when we got home?
Of course it was. Why?
The father's not here. The alcove's empty. Harley. Harley. You don't suppose he went out by himself and got lost or anything?
Nonsense. He's probably gone to bed.
Oh, well, I'll see. Father. Father. Harley.
Hello?
Oh, Harley, he's not in his room either. Oh, dear. Oh, Harley, please put your paper down and help me find him. If anything's happened to him, I don't
know. Oh, no, Jenny, don't get upset. Of course I'll help you.
But I can't help but be upset. You know how Father is.
I guess I do. Half the time, he doesn't know me when I speak to him.
Oh, Harley, Harley, put your shoes on again and let's look for him.
Well, I'm getting them on. There's lots of things he forgets, too. That's why I had that lawyer sell that property of his down Dorchester way. The old man didn't know what I was talking about when I mentioned it.
Oh, hurry, please, hurry.
I should say I do know how your father is.
We should never have let him go out. We never have before. We've never let him go out alone. Oh, I didn't think he'd stir from his chair, or I shouldn't have gone to the cinema tonight.
Got my shoes on. Now, where will we start to look? In the kitchen?
In the kitchen? Why, he can't be there. He'd have answered me when I called him a few moments ago.
Well, I only thought he might have gone out the back way. The front door was certainly locked when we came in, so he didn't go out by that. I'll go and have a look for him.
Well, wait for me, Harley. Wait, I'm coming with you.
No. Stay where you are, Jenny.
Why shouldn't I come with you, Harley? Father! Oh!
That's why. Steady on, old girl.
Oh! Oh, why did I ever leave him tonight? Do something, Harley. Do something. He can't be dead.
I'll see what's to be done. You call the police.
Now, while we're waiting for the doctor to finish his examination, suppose you tell me what went on here.
Oh, no.
Steady, old girl, steady. Now, this is awful, Constable, awful. You must excuse my wife. She feels herself responsible for this.
Indeed. In just what way?
You see, her father was a very old man and was pretty feeble. Up here.
I understand. Balmy. Proceed.
This evening, we left him alone while we went to a cinema. We called goodbye, but he didn't answer. So Jenny and I thought he was asleep in his big armchair in that alcove.
Oh, why did I ever leave him alone? It would never have happened if I had gone out tonight.
Get a grip on yourself, Jenny, my girl. It wasn't your fault.
Messy business this, I know, ma'am. Very sorry I am, but I've got to make my report. You was a-saying...
Some friends drove us home about 11. The old chap wasn't in his chair, and Jenny here got worried. He thought he'd wandered out into the street. We searched the flat and found him there in the kitchen.
Just like when I arrived?
No, no, not exactly. He was stretched in front of the stove like that, but his head was stuck in the oven door. The gas was turned on, but his coat was packed around it in such a way that there was very little gas in the room.
Very neatly done. What?
Oh, Father, Father. Why did I ever go out and leave him?
Here's the doctor. Well, sir, what am I to put in my report?
Death caused by carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yes, that's the side, Doctor. The man died from...
Inhaling the gas fume.
Right you are. Suicide, was it?
I should say it was.
The old man was always threatening to do it. I'm not surprised.
Mind if I take a look at the body, Doctor?
I'll go right ahead, Gunsel. Now, Mr. Withup, if you'll just give me the full name of the deceased, I'll fill in the certificate.
The name is Orrin Hepler.
Orrin Hepler. Age?
89.
Hold on, Doctor.
Huh?
Doctor, how do you account for that cut on the back of the old gentleman's head?
A cut? Why, he...
I can explain that, Constable.
Oh, you can?
Yes. You see, when I pulled the body from the oven, I was so nervous and excited that I dropped it. I remember the head struck the floor with a thud. It must have been then the cut was made.
Indeed. And what do you say to that, Doctor?
Oh, quite possible. I saw the contusion and laceration, Constable, and I diagnosed the condition as caused in some such manner.
Well, I'm not saying it was or it wasn't, but in cases like this, I've got my duty to perform. I'll have to ask you to come along with me, Mr. Ritter.
Oh, see here. You don't think that I had anything to do with my father-in-law's death?
Oh, no. Oh, don't let them take you away, Harley. He didn't do it, Constable. He wouldn't kill anyone.
Very loyal of you, ma'am, and most natural, too. But I'm afraid I've my duty to perform. Come along, sir.
No. No, you mustn't arrest Harley. I tell you, Father's been threatening to do this for a long time. Father killed himself, I'm sure of it.
There's no use protesting, Jenny. If the constable thinks it's his duty to take me in, he's got to do it. I'll be let off all right.
That remains to be seen.
Ritter, you have heard witnesses testify that shortly after you married Jenny Hepler, you discharged the attendant who had been caring for your father-in-law for some years. Is that correct?
It is.
Will you tell his lordship and the jury just why you took this action?
Certainly. It's purely a matter of finances. I felt that I could look after him myself and save the expenses of a man.
Mr. Hepler had a comfortable income from his savings, hadn't he?
Yes.
And you had your solicitor add a codicil to his will, leaving the double flat in Melrose Mews to you, didn't you?
Yes.
That was about a month ago, wasn't it?
Well, I guess it was. Somewhere in there. But that doesn't prove that I had anything to do with his death.
I must ask the witness to confine his remarks to direct answers and to questions. And to remember that he's being tried for murder. Now, tell his lordship and the jury just what brought the order to your solicitor to dispose of certain property in Dorsetshire which belonged to the deceased.
I found that the taxes were piling up. In fact, had been for some time. I told my wife about it.
What can we do about it, Harley? What can we do? That property belongs to Father, not to me.
Then I'll have to talk with him. Where is your father?
In his room.
I'll just see him about it now.
Do you think that you ought to disturb him, Harley?
Father. It's got to be done about it, Jenny. Father!
Go away! Go away and let me alone.
It's only Harley and me, Father.
Yes, Father. We want to talk to you.
Talk?
Yes. It's very important, Father.
When do I get my supper?
Very soon, dear. Now listen to Harley. He has something to ask you.
Harley? Who's Harley?
I'm Harley, your son-in-law. You know me, don't you?
I never saw you in my life. Oh, go away. Go away. My gums hurt me.
Father, please. Listen to what Harley has to say.
It's about that place of yours in Dorchester, Father.
Do you like milk? I want some milk. Why can't the moon burn you like the sun does?
See, Jenny, it's no use.
I fear you're right, Harley. You'd better handle the matter yourself.
Whispering, always whispering. What are you people whispering about? I can't stand it. I'll kill myself. That'll fool you. I'll kill myself. Oh, go away. Go away.
And so when I realized how the old man's mind had gone bad entirely, I took charge of his affairs.
One more question. Did you have anything to do with the death of Orrin Hepler?
No, I did not. It's a terribly wicked thing that it should have happened as it did. but I had nothing to do with it. Mr. Hepler deliberately committed suicide.
You still insist on that?
I do.
In spite of the testimony of his personal physician, who stated in this court in the presence of his lordship and the jury that it was rare for people with mental trouble to attempt suicide?
Yes.
That it is the same man who kills himself?
I can't help what that doctor said. Mr. Hepler finally did what he threatened to do for some time. My wife testified to that.
Mrs. Ritter testified her father had threatened suicide, but not that he had committed it. That is all. You may step down from the rock.
I call as the final witness for the defense the physician who was asked in to examine the body, Dr. Barton. Doctor, take the box, please.
Do you saw, Miss Freer, the evidence you've given this case shall be the truth, the old truth, nothing but the truth to open your gorge?
I do.
Sister Book.
Doctor, when you examined the body of the deceased, you found a laceration and contusion of the scalp, did you not?
I did.
And you stated that it could have been caused by the head falling in such a manner as described by the defendant.
I did.
Will you now in open court reiterate your opinion?
Certainly. The wound I discovered on the back of the dead man's head might have been caused by a fall while the body was being moved.
Doctor, please tell his lordship and the jury how you arrived at your conclusion.
Well, I experimented on the body of a man of nearly the same age and weight as Orrin Hepler. I put a block of wood under the shoulders to raise the body. Then I put the dead man's head on a pair of scales, counterpoising the weight of it with metal weights. It took 8 pounds to equalize the weight.
I show you now a square piece of metal weighing 8 pounds. Here. Please demonstrate your experiment, Doctor.
I am holding the metal about 7 inches from the top of this railing around the witness box. That is the height of the oven door from the floor. And now, I dropped it, like the head of the deceased. I think such a fall would cause the bruise and cut that were found.
Thank you, Doctor. You may step down. The defense rests, my lord. That little act swung the jury for us, Ritter.
It doesn't seem on our side now.
Crown has one more witness to call, my lord. Mr. Langworth.
You saw him, Miss Freer, the evidence will give in this case will be the truth, the old truth, nothing but the truth to rope your gorge.
I do.
Kiss the book.
What is your profession, Mr. Langwell?
I am a chemist.
Explain to his lordship and the jury what you have there.
The reddish liquid in these bottles has been prepared from blood from the body of the late Orrin Hepler. In this bottle is a sample of blood drawn from the veins after death. In this one is a solution prepared from the wound on the back of his head.
What did your analysis show?
The deceased died from carbon monoxide poisoning caused by inhaling gas. This blood drawn from the veins after death, it's full of carbon monoxide.
And the solution prepared from the blood that came from the cut?
This blood from the cut has no trace of carbon monoxide in it.
Lord, the testimony of this expert proves beyond shadow of a doubt that Orrin Hepler was knocked unconscious before his head was placed in the oven. I ask that your lordship order the jury to render a verdict of guilty.
There's no need of that, my lord.
Charlie, don't!
Killed himself.
Be sure to read the details of this apparently deliberate case of suicide in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. It will appear under the title, The Perfect Murder, but not quite, when science steps in. This is Wentworth announcing, and turning the microphone over to your own announcer.